It is a Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com. As we always do, we visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. This is brought to you by the good folks at Blue Tail Medical Group. Great alternative to surgery. Bays, Wolf, and Crane, the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group, and doctors all over the world are flying to Chesterfield to figure out how they're doing this. A great alternative prior to surgery. It's Blue Tail Medical Group. Find out more. They're going to get you right back in the game and the game of life. BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. Let's bring in Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hey, Ben, good morning to you. How are things going?
Good morning, Dan. Happy Friday. Doing well here just enjoying, preparing to enjoy some Cardinals-Cubs baseball. And plenty to discuss, man. How's it going?
I'm doing great. I think it's a fascinating weekend. More so than, well, it's always fascinating when the Cardinals and Cubs go to Wrigley. There's no question about that. But I think it's a fascinating weekend because Jed Hoyer comes out and says, okay, we were doing okay prior to the 11-game losing skid. Now all bets are off and, you know what, it could be, you know, trading some parts off. The Cardinals' perspective, they're not in the same boat. I think it's apples and oranges because even though both teams are 9.5 games out, Cardinals don't have a lot of guys that are on the final year of their deal, which the Cubs do. So it's a different deal. But I do find it fascinating how these teams come out of this going into the break. By the way, the Cardinals have not been ahead of the Cubs, and let me find my notes here. You ready for this? Because I know you love numbers.
Yeah, hit me.
All right. The Cardinals, if they win the series, they take the lead over the Cubs during the All-Star break, something they haven't done since 2015. So they've been doing a lot of catch-up in the second half of seasons here with the Chicago Cubs. So fascinating weekend it could be here coming up at Wrigley Field beginning today.
Man, it's been a whirlwind for the Cubs, right? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about how the front office there was going to be forced into making win-now moves for that team as they were leading the division. And you basically have Hoyer admitting, yeah, we were thinking about it, and now we're taking calls about being sellers. I mean, just a very blunt analysis, and it's kind of hard to dismiss the fact that this is kind of what the Cubs front office, I think, wanted to do based off of the moves they made entering the season. You're right. They are in different places than the Cardinals. Look at what the Cubs did before they started the season. They had traded off Yu Darvish. They had let Kyle Schwarber and John Lester walk. Theo had jumped ship. You know, this was a team that was kind of already starting a repurposing of sorts compared to look at where the Cardinals were. They brought in Nolan Arenado and accepted the biggest contract the team has ever had. They doubled down on bringing back Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright and said one more ride. So I do think the Cardinals are in a much different spot. Ironically, they're in about the same place in the standings. And, you know, still the Cardinals are kind of, I think, they're in a jam, man. I mean, they've got to be feeling more pressure now than ever before to improve the team at the deadline, something they haven't done in a long time. But you can make the case that this is the team that deserves it in terms of where they are in the standings the least. But I think they're going to try to find a way to do something. I think they have to do something that helps them now, but also next season, and especially with the starting pitching, they need help for next season too. So finding some way to get a starter who can help you now and later would be pretty wise.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think you have to find somebody to kind of help you bridge the gap in the immediate to get you to the return of Flaherty, whether it's in the beginning of August or midway in August. You're hopeful for Carlos Martinez. You're hopeful for Miles Michaelis. There's been a lot of hope all season long. I get it. But I think it's about the immediate and about the future. This road trip has been interesting in the fact that the Cardinals have been in every game. They could have lost all four in Colorado, could have won all four. They dropped three of four. Really, realistically, probably should have been a split. Then they go to San Francisco, best team in baseball, take two of three. And, you know, KK pitches wonderfully well. He's, I think, one of five or six this year that the Giants have had that have lasted at least seven innings, a starter. That's the makeup of this team, what they thought going in. Then, you have pretty good starting pitching. You could shorten games. So it's there. It just hasn't been consistent. And now they're starting to get Goldie and Arenado hitting. So I'm really fascinated what kind of momentum they can build off this trip and going into the All-Star break.
They don't look like a team that's rolling over. They look like a team that, and it's kind of the team that we've seen when they get good quality starting pitching, and I sound like a broken record here, they usually win. KK, that was as good as KK's look since he's put on a Cardinals uniform, including, you know, last season. And if he can continue that, holy smokes. But, you know, I'm with you, man. It looks to me like a team that is starting to near the point where it's proving that it could be a team that has a chance to make the postseason and make some sort of run in the second half if it can get some help. And what we've seen is only reiterating and underscoring what we've said is they need more starting pitching. With Carlos Martinez, you can't assume that he's going to be back. I mean, not saying the Cardinals are going to leave it open, but they can't assume that. I mean, he's got a hand injury halfway through the season, a ligament issue. I mean, they should know by now that they can't be banking on guys like that to return. But I'm with you. There are some positive signs, especially in San Francisco. I'm seeing a couple things. The defense is looking good. You nailed it on Arenado and Goldschmidt. We haven't really seen what this lineup can do when those guys get going together. Arenado has been good at times. Goldschmidt's was better in June, but we haven't really seen them 1-2, you know, going, being the driving forces of this lineup like we thought we would yet, which means that it could happen still. And that's it's a different dynamic when they are. And I'll give, you know, one more positive and one concern a little bit. I don't know that the concern's that big of a thing because it's a good time for it. The bullpen, the big guys in the bullpen are starting to look a little loose, and which is to be expected. They've been worked hard, but I do think they get a chance to rest up over the All-Star break. It's good timing for that if you can get them through this series against the Cubs. The other one, and I'll give him credit, you know, because I remember saying he's not going to be the offensive catalyst here, and he's not. But I do think that the return of Harrison Bader has helped this team. His energy, his kind of swagger, his kind of never say die attitude. They were looking a little flat during the inability to capitalize against bad teams. And I think that, you know, since he hit that home run in Colorado and just his energy, his vibe, and he believes he can do anything. I mean, he really truly does. And I think that we're seeing that rub off on the team a little bit. I think that's been a difference maker for him.
I want to get your thoughts on the All-Star game. I normally wouldn't really care, but I am curious about this. My interest in the All-Star game has waned considerably over the years. Even when it was this one counts, I didn't like it when they did that, when you had the All-Star game, which should be an exhibition, deciding Game 7 of the World Series home field advantage. So I just didn't like it. When I was a kid, I never missed it. Always wanted to see players from the other leagues that I could never watch. Well, a lot of games, I'm old enough that a lot of games weren't on TV. So I'd get one game a week, and guys would come out in their white shoes and, you know, wear the uniforms I didn't normally see, and I thought it was really, really cool to watch. But my interest has waned. However, my interest is engaged this year with Ohtani, number one, and the other guy is Alex Reyes. I'm so happy to see Alex get this this chance. So what do you think? I do think the casual fan is going to be intrigued to watch Ohtani. They're hearing everything about him, whether they've seen him or not. But, man, this guy throws 100, and he hits bombs, and he's also one of the fastest guys in the league. If I'm the American League manager, I'd start him and bat him leadoff and just have a lot of fun with it. Why not?
Yep. Build it around it. Baseball should. And can people stop talking about what Ohtani should not be doing? I'm so tired of, and I saw this going viral on Twitter, and I totally agree. It's like, this is part of what's wrong with baseball is, you know, MLB Network does a segment on Ohtani, and it's a bunch of people sitting around talking about how he shouldn't be pitching. Come on, guys. I mean, if we're going to have a conversation about baseball, it should be, how the heck did pitchers get to the point where they can't hit, period? I mean, I'm full blown. Bring on the designated hitter, because I'm tired of watching these guys try to hit. But I wouldn't be that way if they all hit like Ohtani. That's for sure. And he can pitch. So, I mean, embrace this true star. We're seeing something that has never been done in the modern era of the game. So totally build the All-Star game around him. Showcase him. Any reason to not do that? Any sign of them not doing that is a mistake. And I do think that he has created more interest in the game. There will be some people who are turned off on the game this year because it moved from Atlanta. I think there is a I've got enough emails from folks who are disappointed in that decision and don't like what they view as the politicization of baseball, who are going to maybe not watch. But I think the people who are watching are going to be tuned in to see what this guy does. And you nailed it about, I think the Arenado factor is interesting. You know, he's an all-star back in Denver. I love the reception he got. I thought it was predictable. They love the guy there, and for him to be in that is cool. I've kind of cooled on the Home Run Derby. I used to think it was the coolest thing, but you know, it does seem like we're seeing more and more guys choose not to be in it. And I think it's, my other all-star thought is that it's kind of lame that these Astros guys are declining. I remember when Yadier Molina went to Cincinnati and got booed.
It's great.
And he loved it. You know, and it's a different scenario. I mean, Yadi wasn't accused of, banging on the trash cans. But, man, go represent your team and go take your booze. And the Astros fans who will be there will appreciate it. The whole thing about the Astros guys needing to rest up, I'm not buying that. I think you got to, that's part of taking your medicine, is going and getting booed at the All-Star game if you're fortunate enough to make it. So I thought that was kind of lame, but you nailed it on Reyes, man. I mean, golly, I can remember Alex Reyes when, you know, go back to when he was a prospect, back when they still, popped the minor leaguers for the marijuana testing, and him having to go through that, and just how, I remember how impressed I was with his response to that and how he owned it. He said, I got to learn from it. I got to improve from it. He didn't try to shrug it off. He didn't try to ignore it. He was upfront, and I thought, man, this guy is pretty impressive. I mean, you learn a lot about what guys do, who guys are when they have to overcome something that's not good. I mean, it's easy. Hey, how do you feel about winning minor league pitcher of the year? Great. Okay. That doesn't tell you anything about a player. I think the way that he's handled adversity, even from when we were just finding out who he is, was impressive. And it's no surprise that he's continued to climb here. I know a lot of people were, wondering, should the Cardinals give up on him? Is he too injury prone? Well, all you got to do is watch him pitch and see that the Cardinals were smart to continue giving him chances. All you have to do is see how his body has changed to see that I don't think he's even close to as good as he can be. His intensity, his desire to compete, man, this guy's an impressive player. I just hope that he's not so good at being a closer, Dan, that we don't eventually get a chance to see him start, because I think he could be a pretty damn good starter too.
I bet he goes in that rotation next year. That would be my guess. But let's jump around on some other things that are happening. You wrote about it in the Post-Dispatch this morning, Vladimir Tarasenko. He has requested, apparently, to be dealt. It's not as easy as it's going to, say, hey, I want to be dealt and find me a place. It's not that easy. This is a very complicated situation. So what are your thoughts on this, Tarasenko wanting out of St. Louis?
I got two kind of lanes of thinking. One is, I guess, my sentimental side, and two is the business kind of side of sports. One, the sentimental side says this stinks, man. I mean, this guy was the face of the team for many years. He was the top scorer, one of the top three scorers in hockey for like a half decade. Could have had a chance to be a, I guess part of me always roots for guys to be the lifelong St. Louis sports stars. And maybe that's why I'm in the business I'm in. I like those stories, right? And I think there was a path for Tarasenko to evolve here, to maybe, when the goals didn't come as easy, and they haven't, and they probably won't now that he's been through three shoulder surgeries, for him to find a different role. I mean, how many roles did we see Alexander Steen play over the course of his career with the Blues, and how loved was he for that as a member of this team? And I kind of thought Tarasenko might be able to go the same route, but I think there's a disconnect between the player that he once was and the player he thinks he is. And I think that he doesn't really fit as well on this team as he used to when he was leading the way. They kind of took on a different identity, some of the part while he was out with injury. And there seems to be kind of a crossroads here. And I get that. There are times when guys got to move on. But what I think is low, and I think it's a low blow, is him kind of allowing his camp to throw the Blues medical staff under the bus on the way out. If you want to trade, okay, guys ask for trades. That's the business of hockey. I get it. But, unless he's going to come forward with proof that says, here's why I'm upset about the way my shoulder was handled, then I think it's cheap. I think it puts, you know, unfair criticism on these doctors who are not the Vladimir Tarasenko's of the world, where it's easy for all these fans to say, yeah, blame the doctors. But is that even really fair? Let's see some evidence. Tarasenko played great, Dan, after his first shoulder surgery. He played great after it. After the second one, not so much. But you know what? Hockey players who have big shoulder injuries multiple times, usually that there's a decline of that joint, whether they're getting surgery by God himself. So I think it's a little unfair, and I think that could have been handled better. On the business side, you nailed it, man. It's hard. He's got $15 million left on the deal, 7.5 average per year. I'm good at math. They no team is rushing to take him on after how he's played. He's been a minus 18, I think, over the past two seasons, regular and postseason. He doesn't do, you know, he's not really much of an all-around player. He plays great when he's scoring goals, and when he's not, he's kind of out there. It's been how it is the past two seasons. He's got a full no-trade clause in this contract that he signed that's kicked in. So it's not like they can just move him wherever. I think Army has to try. I don't think you can leave a guy who's not happy on your team. I think that's terrible for chemistry. I think he tries to make moves. He's got about a little more than a week before they have to decide what they do with the expansion. And if you can't find a decent deal for him, I don't think Army wants to pay him to go away. He doesn't like to do that. Maybe they leave him unprotected and hope Seattle takes him and just takes the cap.
I'll tell you what, you go back to, and it's not that long ago, where, you know, fans were lined up on Market Street and that cup was getting taken down there for a massive parade, one of the great postseason parades we've ever seen. And there's Alex Pietrangelo, there's Jay Bouwmeester, there's Alexander Steen, there's Jake Allen, there's Vladimir Tarasenko. I mean, we're talking big names gone. Pat Maroon, who's now won two more cups. I mean, there's some big names that are gone. And that happened in a blink of an eye, didn't it?
It did. And, you know, and the Blues are not, look, the Blues are not completely absolved from this. I mean, they have a role in it, too. I think they are guilty of kind of making it Tarasenko's world for far too long and then not really helping him out when it came time to change. You kind of had this really, I think it's a point of a star who was at the top of his game, kind of on the way down, which happens in sports, and a team that was kind of on its rise under Berube, who really made his mark on treating everybody the same for the most part. And the intersection of that wasn't handled very well, I don't think. And I think I wish it could have been better. But, you know, Tarasenko is, for a lot of people, the face of the team still. I mean, he's the sweater they keep in their closet. He was on the front of their video game. I think for a generation of fans, he was the reason, part of the reason they fell in love with Blues hockey. And so I do think this is hard for people to see. And I do think there's going to be some people who are upset that the Blues could not have handled, you know, this situation better. But I think I do think Tarasenko deserves some of that too, because, you know, I think that he might have unrealistic expectations for what's left for him. But yeah, you're right. Another reason for them to go add some more star power. Hell, pull off some sort of low-level trade to bring Pat Maroon home. He's got a year left on his deal with Tampa. They might be doing some retooling. Go get Matthew Tkachuk. Why not? Because they need some. They're going to need some sizzle if they're gonna deal away Vladimir Tarasenko, which it sure seems like right now they're going to have to.
We always jump around on these Fridays. You did some digging on the athletic department at Mizzou, doing some good things. What's going on there? And then what's also happening with, and you know what? We're not that far away. The football opener. I mean, you think about it. We're what, maybe 6-8 weeks away from the college football season, and we're gonna have packed stadiums. So how's that all gonna unfold?
Man, I can't wait for it. And I'm excited to go cover Mizzou football this fall. And I think that. The news, Jim Sterk had a little bit of a Zoom presser with some media members on Thursday. I jumped on, and a couple interesting things. One, Dan, they're going to break the record for donations to the athletic department this fiscal year, which is pretty impressive considering the pandemic. You know, a lot of donors stepped up, a lot of donations made for the practice facility Eli Drinkwitz requested and is going to get, which is a sign of the football coach moving things in the right direction. And number two of that is, Jim Sterk dropped this number, and I went back and made sure it was correct with him. And he said it is their new season ticket sales are up 150% compared to 2019, which tells you they weren't great in 2019. But impressive that Drinkwitz has that kind of energy going. And I think those are two really good signs for your football team, in addition to the recruiting success he's made. So when the money's flowing in through donations and the money's flowing in through season ticket sales and the coach is getting a recruiting class that is, you know, ranked in the top 25 in the country, those are all good trend lines for your team. And Stirk made a point of saying there's one concerning trend line we don't have control over that we have to pay attention to. And it's how terrible it would be if Missouri and other SEC programs had to bring back some sort of fan limit on games this fall if this COVID uptick continues to happen. He said the SEC, the university side, is monitoring this trend line of COVID. As of now, they're planning to be fully open this fall, and that's the plan, full classes, everything. But if the state doesn't get a good grip on what's going on here, then that could potentially change. And he said it would be a disaster to try to have all of this interest around the team and then all of a sudden have to say, well, we can only allow so many fans again. And he said, we know how to do it. We had to do it last year, but that would be a really nightmare situation for the Mizzou football program. So they're encouraging vaccinations. They're trying to get their student athletes up to around 80-85% per team. And they're really, you know, kind of, I think, going to be pushing forward this messaging of, hey, if you want a normal fall football season, then get those vaccination numbers up, or else there could be in danger of having more limitations.
Are you going to the SEC Media Day? That's got to be around the corner, isn't it?
It is, yeah, coming up later this month. So I'll be headed down to SEC Media Days with my colleague from the Post-Dispatch, Dave Matter. One of my favorite parts of the year. And first time I've gone since I used to live in Knoxville. So
I think they're hilarious.
Season, man.
They're hilarious. I love them.
I think Eli Drinkwitz might have a few tricks up his sleeve, too.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think he's going to go. I remember at one point in time, I wrote a little blog suggesting ways Barry Odom could make a splash at SEC Media Days, and he and I got a kick out of that because, you know, Barry is pretty straight-laced. I don't think Eli needs any suggestions on how to make it. I think he's probably been planning this out for months.
Cubs and Cardinals today. I'll wrap it up with this. Three-game series, what happens in the three games? You got LeBlanc, KK, Waino going in the games. Kyle Hendricks going today for the Cubs, by the way. He's been awesome against the Cardinals, as we know, in his career. So how do you think this unfolds this weekend?
Got to get a series win. Should get a sweep. I know Hendricks is a beast against these guys, but this is a team that's watched the wind go out of its sails in the Cubs. You know, when the front office is openly talking about being sellers, they've had a they got crushed last night. They've been all sorts of out of whack. So the Cardinals should very much have the momentum, should have the energy. Maybe you don't get Hendricks, but you got to get two of the three.
My man, always great to catch you up. Good info, and we'll do it next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend.
You too. Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And again, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Find out more at bluetailmedicalgroup.com.